Thank you that when we pray, you hear our voice, Lord. We can enter the most holy place by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. So at the end of the day, I'm wasting my breath and everybody else's time if it's not you. So Lord, may it be all you and none of me. I give my everything to you. You think through my mind, speak through my vocal cords. Open up our hearts to receive from you and only you, with no distortions or distractions, Lord. We just thank you for who you are and what you've already prepared for a time like this, Lord. In Jesus' name. All right, so we've been doing the series on Jonah. And so right now we're in chapter 3. Let's read this right quick and then let's break it down. Let me know if y'all there. Click it open or if it's up on the top. All right. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose, went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. And he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people in Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, "By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. What a Lord. Amen. There's a lot going on there. One of the things that really sticks out about that, there's a lot of second chances going on there. We start seeing God giving second chances, but not just giving second chances, people taking God up on that offer. People taking that opportunity. You can have a winning lottery ticket, but if you don't cash it in, it means nothing. It's a piece of paper. There's second chances, and then you're seeing somebody take advantage of it. And what this is speaking to us is that God offers those same second chances to us. Now, it means nothing if we don't know that we need it. What happened with Jonah right here? He recognized, you know what, God, I messed up. Let me make it right. God spoke again. This time he heard. Because it goes back to Jonah 1. God spoke that same time too. Beginning of the chapter. Okay, Jonah, I got something for you to do. Do you accept your mission? He's like, huh? You know when you stall and you're like, what? But here's the thing. He made bad decisions based on assumptions. But that's not any of us right here. we don't make bad decisions. He made assumptions. God said, go into that city and I got a message for them. But he didn't just say no, he just ignored it. He made bad decisions based on his assumptions. You know what his assumption was? That if I was God, I would do it differently. And it took him far from God. It's one of those, if I was God, I wouldn't have let that happen to my loved one. Drew him far from God. If I was God, I wouldn't have let this happen to me when I was younger. If I was God, I would handle this situation differently. If I was God, my breakthrough would happen right here, right now. And people go through that kind of stuff. They have those questions. They have those issues. God, why is this? Or God, why not that? Why am I the only one going through this? In our minds, we feel like we're the only one. And it took him far from God. But he didn't just say no. He just kind of ignored and did his own thing. Went the other direction. It's one of those, okay, God, speak to me. Speak to me, Lord. Then you read a scripture on forgiveness or patience. And he's like, God, I thought you were going to speak to me. When it's something we don't want to hear, we just kind of like, okay, God, I guess I'll just, fast again or something. But no, and then Because of those bad decisions, based on those assumptions, it took him far from God. He did his own thing. God kept speaking the whole time. He knew that he knows who God is. Then some drama happened. He had to get swallowed up by a big fish. But it was God speaking. It was God speaking. And then this time he finally got the message. It finally hit home. And we have to do it like that. See, finally it was okay. God is speaking. I know what God is saying. Let me just trust it this time. Even if I don't understand it. I don't understand why you want me to go into this city. You want me to go to Nineveh. But we have to be like, what does God say? Because situations change, emotions change, people change, climate change, weather changes. Beautiful as Vancouver is. How many times the last month people say, oh, Vancouver's like the greatest city ever? Come December, oh my God, Vancouver. What? And then I'll hear the same thing. Oh, you see Calgary. I'm like, what does that have to do with right now? Anyway, but things change, but the word of God stays the same. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass, but my words stand forever. We have to get it. What does God say? That's going to be our stable foundation. That's what's wrong with our situation. I heard a quote a couple weeks ago. Our feet are planted in midair because truth is based on feeling, situations, or culture. And that changes every 5-10 years, even quicker now with the internet age. We need something solid, that solid foundation, that rock, that real truth. What does God say? Speaking of second chances, there's a story in John 8. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought this woman caught in adultery. And they were going to stone her. And they were like, oh. And they came to Jesus trying to run some game on him, trying to slip him up. You know, Jesus ain't never fazed. He cool, calm, and collected. They was like, oh, a law says we should stone such a woman. But what do you say? What he says, that's what matters. That's what makes a difference. We got to be like that. Okay, God, my feelings say this, but what do you say? And in that situation, he was like, does any of these people condemn you? It was like, no, because they all had issues too. They just only wanted to see her situation. And Jesus said, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. See, what matters is what does God say? What does the word of God say? Not slants on what people say about the word of God. What does the word of God say? He's given us the Holy Spirit. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. He gives us his word. And he gives us his presence to make it relevant in your situation, in my situation. But we got to seek it out. We can't be piggybacking off of somebody else's relationship with God. Now, God uses people. He uses people all the time. He speaks to me through other people in other situations a lot. But he wants that personal relationship with God. He wants to speak to you personally. He wants you to get in the word, not just on Sunday. I'm speaking this to myself. What does God say? That's what matters. Jonah in chapter 2, he finally got that message. Okay, that's what God said. I'm going to trust this time. I got swallowed by a big fish, thrown off a boat. Maybe I could have avoided some of this drama. You know what I mean? That's actually what happened to me. I was when I was young, I was really dumb. You know, I'm not saying I'm the brightest right now. You know what I mean? But, oh, man, when I was a teenager, he's like, you up here preaching? Okay. So I'm over here. I come from a middle-class family. Never had to worry about food. Never had to worry about anything. My family was cool. You know, they treated me right. You know what I mean? I didn't have to eat no dog bowl or nothing. And, yeah, when I was a teenager, we wanted to play thug. You know what I mean? Like, you'd be surprised how much the stuff you were around influenced you. And we didn't think that stuff influenced us. The culture, the music videos, my older cousins, our community, people you went to school with. See, who you hang around is really important. No, not me. I was hanging around the sinner, sitting in the seat of the scoffers. My leaf withered, okay? Psalm 1 style. And I messed around. We was like stealing car radios. Didn't need the money. We just wanted the thrill. We wanted the excitement. We were playing thug. We just thought that's what you do. For no reason whatsoever. And on one occasion, while we was stealing radios, I had somebody run down from their building, saw what we were doing, put a gun in my face. And you could tell he kind of seemed like he was on something. And in Georgia, we have stand your ground laws, like Trayvon Martin style. So something could have happened and would have been no issue because I was trespassing. But that was God getting my attention because he didn't shoot me. That was mercy right there. That happened one other time. I was doing something else really stupid. I had another gun pointed at me, and that was God getting my attention again. But did I wake up? No. God was speaking. I wasn't trying to hear it. I had somebody in my life. I had a good friend of mine in high school, and we was mad tight. And then we went to college together, too. And I was like, yo, what's up? You got that new root seed? He's like, nah, man, I threw all that stuff out. I was like, what? But man, I gave my life to Jesus, man. Everything changed, man. Jesus showed himself to me, man. I ain't never experienced so much peace, man. I had all this pain, and yeah, man, my life is different. I ain't about that stuff no more. And I could tell it was something different about it, man. But I wasn't hearing those messages. I was still doing the thug thing. He would even come to me in college and try to tell me about that stuff. And I'd be like, you know what? I'm all cool with it. Because I come from the Bible Belt. I come from Atlanta, Georgia. So everybody kind of has this church culture. Everybody goes to church. So there's not that many atheists out there and that weird stuff. But everybody kind of thinks that everybody thinks they're Christian. You know what I mean? Not living like it, not having a relationship with God, not really understanding Jesus, the love of God, the mercy of God through Jesus. It's just, okay, we go to church and they play movies on Christmas. You know what I mean? And so he would tell me about Jesus. I'd be like, yeah, that's your life. That's cool. But this is me. This is me. You know what I mean? This is how God made me. That's how God made me. That's cool. But this is how God made me. And I still go off and do that dumb stuff, not realizing God was trying to get my attention. And then the big fish moment happened, a.k.a. rock bottom. Now, rock bottom is different for everybody. But sometimes God allows things to happen so he can get our attention. So we'll get to that point. Here I am. Your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. Where we can get, okay, what do you say, God? And for me, it was when I got in a car accident. And I remember the words that my homeboy Troy would tell me back in high school and college when that moment hit. I knew at that moment, just like when the fish spit him back out, I knew that, okay, I need God badly. And I'm realizing this stuff later on, but I'm realizing those were seeds planted and seeds watered. It was just time for the harvest. All those situations, I was like, I was done with this. The fact that I knew where to go find Jesus, I knew other people and stuff, it was because God was getting my attention before. It just, now it made sense. And so I'm wondering, has God been trying to get your attention? What ways has he been trying to get your attention? Sometimes it might be unorthodox, like in Nineveh. But the important thing is the response to the second chance. Jonah, when he got a second chance, it says right here, God spoke a second time. The Lord came to Jonah the second time. How amazing is it God comes a second time? He didn't just leave it. Oh, you blew your chance. You know, some relationships, once you mess up, it's over. You know what I mean? Not God, though. He came again. God's committed. He said, I'm here to finish the process of the work that I started in you. I just thank him for that. I ain't worthy of nothing he done did to me. I ain't earned, you know, merit badges. I ain't get it all right, even after getting saved. But he's merciful for me. He continued to speak to me. If I get it wrong, he'll find a way to come speak again. But you know what? There's certain times he's like, do you hear me now? We ain't got to wander around for 40 years in the desert. To his credit, he repented. You know how he repented? He just said, yeah, you know what? You're right. No. He put feet to it. He actually went to Nineveh. He actually went there. I know it had to be hard. You ever had God ask you to do something? You're like, why me? Why did God use Jonah? God's God. I mean, he could open up the heavens like, this is my son who I'm well pleased. You know what I mean? Why didn't he just reveal himself to everybody like that in a big Mufasa voice? No, it's because he wants... The same reason when he tells people to go to the land of milk and honey and there's giants there. Or seemingly impossible situation that you're in. And you're like, God, why are you asking me to do this? You're asking me to take care of my parents? I'm the least favorite child. You know what I mean? And it's because God wants to show what he's capable of doing with somebody who allows him to work in them. Somebody who's surrendered in them. That's how he gets the glory. Look how many people in the Bible weren't qualified or worthy of it. Moses with his speech issues. Gideon. God wants to show what he's capable of doing so he gets the glory and nobody else. Why would God use Jonah to go to Nineveh? Why would God ask you to do some of the things he's asking you to do? What's the insurmountable odds? Because he wants to show you that his strength is made perfect in your weakness. He wants to show you his grace is sufficient. He wants to show everybody, not just you, who God truly is, that I can give second chances. Wait, God, you want me to speak on your behalf? Do you know what I've done in life? How can I go and share the gospel to this person and I was just cussing them out last month? Because it's not about you. This is the God we serve. It's about him. And he wants everybody to know he gives second chances. That's why your testimony is important. If you come up to everybody you meet trying to stress out because, oh, I got to appear perfect, I'll make God look bad. That ain't the gospel. There's none righteous, not one. Man, I'm saved by grace. Yeah, I'm a son of the Most High God. I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I'm married to God, but it ain't because of me. I ain't earning it. I ain't deserve it. I was not good on the first date. No. Somehow he called me for a second one. And unlike us, when he dates, he comes with a ring. First date, he already knows. So he went to Nineveh. He went to the great city. And you know what? Check out verse 4. Jonah began to go in the city, go on a day's journey. He called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Check this out. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Somehow when Jonah, some Joe Schmo, they don't know Jonah. When he spoke, somehow the people knew it was God. You ever have a message and somehow you know that it's God speaking? You know, there's old saying, oh, God will speak through a donkey. However God speaks, it could be through a commercial, a billboard, a person, a scripture, a Bible study. It could be through anything. I'm not trying to put God in a box, but somehow when God speaks, you know that it's God speaking to you. Whether it's a big fish moment swallowed up, a hard situation, you had to take your lumps or whatever. Somehow you know it is God speaking to you. Like with the car accident, I knew it was God speaking. Somehow God has a way of letting you know that it was him speaking. Just like with Nineveh, they knew it was God speaking. But you know what? They didn't just leave it there. They didn't just leave it there. They responded. They repented. They took God's offer on the second chance. Somehow they knew about God being merciful. A city that was so far from God, they had their own culture, their own city. Somehow they knew something about the mercy of God. Something inside them said, you know what? God's a loving God. Maybe he'll be merciful. They put on sackcloth and ashes. They put feet to it. They actually repented. When God revealed to them, you know what? Maybe I need to forgive this person. They actually went, okay, let me go hit this person up. When God said, I need to leave that person alone, they immediately deleted that number from their phone. Put feet to it. Whatever it is, what is God saying to? Lord, what do you say? The response is what matters. Not I'm going to do it Monday morning. What is it God's asking you to do right now? From the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, sat in ashes. The king did it. Now that's powerful right there. He got up off the high place. He got up off his throne. Sometimes the higher you are, the farther you got to get down to be humble, the harder it is. But he did it. He did it. And notice what happened when the king did it. He influenced so many other people. Even the cats and the dogs started fasting. You know what I mean? Garfield couldn't have food. You know what I mean? And but it was because of the king's decree. The person of influence did it. And then the culture changed. Then God relented. See, it means something when the leaders take initiative and obey God. When the men, the heads of the families, decide to take God seriously and lead the families. It means something when the church repents, seeks God, get up off the high place, humble themselves. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. I'll hear from heaven, heal their land. I'll forgive their sins. We're looking at what's wrong with culture, what's wrong with Christy Clark, what's wrong with, the people out there in downtown Van partying. What's wrong with if we burn down the yoga studios? It's always something. If they do this, if they do that, if the schools change. God has said, no. We've been given the authority. We've been the leaders. We're the ones who's the light in the world. If we get our stuff together, God will worry about them. Look what happened when Jonah decided to repent. Look what happened when the king repented. We're the chosen generation. When we do our thing, we'll see some change happening in our city. But as long as the problem is everybody else, look what we can miss out on. Jonah responded to God. If he didn't, he could have messed around and missed out on the greatest revival. This is one of the greatest revivals. Jonah could have missed out on it. What could we be missing out on if we're deciding we want to ignore God or run from him? But he didn't. He responded. He repented. Can we get the band to come up real quick? Or guitarist? God, we thank you that you're a God of second chances. We done messed up. We all done messed up. We all fall short of the glory of God. But God is saying, you don't have to stay there. I'm not like the people in the world. If you get fired from McDonald's, they might not rehire you. And if they do, maybe they'll let you mop the floors. But God said, no, I'm the God of redemption. I'm the God that after Saul was killing people, I changed his name to Paul, and he wrote half the New Testament. I'm the God that after Moses messed up and tried to freeze people on his own strength, I redeemed him and showed him what I'm capable of doing through him. After Peter denied me, I utilized him mightily. Don't wallow in your mistakes no more. God is giving you a second chance. Maybe it's something that needs to be repented of so you can finally let it go. Don't take the opportunity for granted. What that Jonah 3 shows is that God is a God of justice. The wages of sin is death. He has to enact justice. There is justice. He's a God of justice. He can't not have justice. That means sin has penalty. But he's like, nah, I love my people so much. I don't want them to have to suffer for. Because the wages is death. That's too expensive for them. I don't want them to pay that, to spend eternity away from them. God is holy. I don't care how good you've been. I don't care how much better than that other person you've been. It's still not holy. God is holy. He's perfect. Oh, how can we be in front of a perfect God? It's like trying to slam dunk a 100-foot hoop. Nobody can do it except God. He's like, just take that opportunity. Even though I'm a God of justice, I've shown my mercy. And if you will receive my mercy by receiving my son, Take up that offer for that next chance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. To get the kingdom of God from being at hand to in your hand, it says to repent. Turn from your wicked ways. I will heal your land. I will forgive your sins. Will you receive Jesus? Has God been getting your attention for years? Maybe things have happened which even brought you here today that got you to that point where, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Okay, God, what do you say? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you that you need to do? Is there something you need to let go? Is there somebody you need to forgive? Is there a Nineveh in your life you need to forgive? Is there some sins you need to repent from and receive the grace of God? Let go of that old lifestyle. Maybe you need to forgive yourself. You don't have to hold on to that mistake, saying, yeah, I messed up like this 10 years ago or 10 minutes ago, thinking you have to carry that over. Nah. God's a God that can resurrect, bring back from death to life. If he can repair Jonah, utilize him. If he can repair Nineveh, you're his son. You're his daughter. He said, man, I paid a hefty price for you. And I paid it so I could wipe away your tears. I went through that anguish on the cross. Since the wage of sin is death, he said, I'll pay it. He's the only one who can pay it. Nobody else can pay it. It's like if I have bills and I'm in debt and you in debt, how you gonna pay my debt? You can't pay your own. That's everybody except for God. So God himself is the only one who can pay your sin debt, and everybody is in debt. Nobody else but God himself. Your good works won't do it. Other religions can't do it. Only God himself, and the way he came through Jesus Christ, he said, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, but the way. No man comes to the Father but through me, Jesus said. And if you receive that payment for your sin, if you receive him as your Lord and Savior, he said, I'll wash it, your sin away as far as east is from west, because I already paid it. Will you receive it though? Today is the day. It's not about God offering a second chance. It's about us receiving it. Whatever the Holy Spirit is revealing to you that you need to make a response to, we're going to have prayer team up here. Say yes to God. And we want to pray with you. We got some folks that want to pray with you. You're not in this alone. Just like my homeboy Troy, God provides people in our lives to help us with this. He said, I ain't leave you as orphans. I got you. If you make a decision to trust me, don't worry about what the repercussions will be tomorrow. Oh, but how am I going to tell such and such? Oh, well, how will it look? God said, don't worry about that stuff. This is me you're talking about. I created the heavens and the earth. I speak an official spit out Jonah. God's hands ain't too short. God's not a rookie at being God. This ain't his first day on the job. He knows you. He knows the plan he has for your life. Will you respond to it? Maybe you're already Christian, but you haven't been responding to the calling on your life. God said, I got you. Whatever the Holy Spirit is saying, say yes.